The Frequency 49 show is brought to you by Niner Empire GB.
Hello and welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm Kat Victorino, and with me today are Rob Newell and Deepak Gohil. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, good evening.
Okay.
Rob, I believe you brought us a special guest today. Would you like to do the introductions?
Certainly will, Kat. Thank you. We've got a guest tonight all the way from Germany. He is the founder of one of the German chapters of the Niner Empire, and he's the editor of the national newsletter there, the Empire Chronicles. His name is Michael Wandre, and he is on the line now. So hello, Michael.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And thanks for the nice introduction.
No problem at all. Good to have you on board.
Welcome. So, Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about your chapter and some of the exciting news that you just had a couple days ago, I believe.
Yeah, I'm the founder of the Niner Empire Germany Schleswig-Holstein chapter. That's a chapter of the most northern state of Germany. And I'm also a director in the Niner Empire Germany, where I'm leading the editing the newsletter, the Niner Empire Chronicles. And yeah, our chapter just got upgraded to booster status by the 49ers.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Great news.
So there was a little game on Sunday. Did anybody watch it?
Yes, the cracks in my fingers.
So the Carolina Panthers came out to Levi Stadium in Santa Clara and basically trolloped the San Francisco 49ers 23-3. Hoyer went 24 of 35 for 193 yards with one interception, while his counterpart, Cam Newton, went 14 for 25 with 171 yards, two touchdowns, and one INT. Hyde went 9 for 45. His average yards per run was 5 yards. His longest was 18. Breda went 4 for 11, 2.75 yards. Ooh, not really getting it done, at least on offense. So on defense, our run defense looks like it's improved, guys, just a smidge. Holding Carolina to 3.1 yards per rush, but they registered no sacks, and they gave up 6.8 yards per pass play. Newton was only pressured 8 times, 5 of which came from Buckner. What do we think? Where's the pass rush? Who needs to step up to get this job done?
Well, I think we've highlighted that pass rush is an issue for us now. I think we also need to realize and be quite mindful that we are in a rebuild season right now, so the pieces haven't quite fell into place. I think on the defense, it's the same old Niner story. The longer they're out on the field, the more tired they're going to get. In terms of pass rush, it didn't help that Ruben Foster was taken out of the game early with an injury. So there's a lot of work to be done. I really don't want to put fingers on individual players, but I think collectively we've got to ask ourselves, A, are we good enough? Or B, is it just a question of bedding in and getting used to playing at this level?
Michael's going to have something to say about the offensive line play in a minute, being a former O-lineman himself. He's got some interesting comments on that one. But I thought overall, was it a good performance? No, it wasn't, let's face it. But I think Foster going out obviously hurt the defense. There were still some good moments there for the defense, right up to the point where they started to get tired, obviously. But going forward, I think everyone's sort of saying the same old, same old, and I can understand why, but I thought there was some differences there. I think we did try a few different things. The execution was the problem, I think, as Deepak said in the Facebook group. We just didn't execute some of those plays very well. And, all right, Kyle Shanahan's now got off to a losing start, which is unusual for a Niners coach, but maybe that's the wake-up call they're going to need this time, because we won week one last year, and look what happened.
Maybe that's what we need. What do you think, Michael, looking at it from a defensive perspective?
Offensive. I was an offensive lineman.
Yeah,
and I'm really...
Sign him up!
Exactly!
I really have to say our offensive line was terrible, especially Zane Beadles was a no-show. I think Coach Shanahan said something equal in a press conference these days. And what some people missed is Hyde had some good rushes, but he missed almost all his blocks.
Mm-hmm.
There were several situations when his job was to stop the blitzing linebacker and he just couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. I didn't know if he just jumped out of the way or if he just is a terrible blocker.
Well, and we were struggling with third down conversions. Our third down conversion percentage rate was 18%. So what do you think? Do we need to put Tomlinson in there? Do a personnel change?
Wow. What a difficult question to answer. I think we need to accept a couple of fundamental things here. You know, when you look at the stats, they are quite hideous across the board, across all skill positions. Michael said Zane Beatles was hideous, and he was hideous. But I still think that everything is new for this 49er team, right down to not only the philosophies on offense and defense, but it's a different mindset that Shanahan's trying to instill into this team. And to that degree, he's got an advantage because it's a relatively new team. There's very few dead wood from kicking around from before. I think we need to be patient. I mean, what do we make? Do we make personnel changes? Do we change the way we play? Or do we change the defensive shifts? You know, that is such a super difficult question to answer, Kat. And I think the chicken answer to that would be you try a little bit of everything. And next week is a perfect example to try something. Who honestly thinks we're going to get something against Seattle? You know, honestly, really. Maybe that could be the one game where we can try these different stunts and see what happens.
But that's why they play the game. There's always hope. Come on, work with me here.
Yeah, I know. But you know, the hope is in the clue. It is a rebuild. And it's not like there haven't been positive signs. There have been really good positive signs, especially by the defense. Tank Carradine was very good, I thought, in containing their rushing play. So there are lots of good things. And I think it's just going to take a little bit of time to put those components together. And when they do, I think we'll be having a different type of optimism. But right now, you know, let's treat it for what it is. It is a rebuilding team.
It is, certainly. I agree. And I would say also, from what we saw from the offense, there was that deep pass. We tried a couple of deep passes on fourth down. Goodwin dropped one. It was basically a sitter, really. He should have caught and probably would have scored. There was the fourth down play to Carlos Hyde on the goal line when he ran back inside towards the defense rather than using the blockers. And if we'd scored twice there, and then yes, we still lose. I mean, it shouldn't mask some of the other issues we're talking about, but that would have put a totally different spin on how everyone feels today, I think.
Do you think it's play calling, Rob, or do you think it's ability?
I think part of it is just having so many new players together. I think the execution of that is the issue. I mean, I've seen people calling out Brian Hoyer, and yeah, he's not sort of Mr. sort of exciting at quarterback, but he's still a big step up from what we've had.
Yeah.
And I think we just need everyone to just sort of take a deep breath, step back and sort of work on these things, and maybe winning 28-0 in the first week is a bad thing. Maybe this is waking up everybody. Yes, we got a lot to do. This is the stuff we need to work on. There are fundamentals we need to actually step back and sort of rebuild from.
And I think we also need to keep in mind that it is a very complicated scheme that Shanahan tends to run. So it's going to take time for these players to get that scheme down to where they can execute it reasonably well. So
yeah.
Patience is definitely going to be one thing. But one thing that struck me was, and Michael, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. It seemed that we gave up on the run in the second half. I think Hyde touched the ball for a rush twice in the second half. Is that a wise move? We were only down 13 points.
Yeah, I don't know what was in Shanahan's mind there, but yeah, we basically didn't run in the second half. And I think we just wanted to try to get into the game. Deepak, you misunderstood me. I'm not saying that everything is terrible. I'm one of the few guys in the Niner Empire Germany who preaches patience with the team. Yeah, but sure. I think one problem we still have is this Kaepernick sword still hanging over our heads. The people won't stop crying his name, especially with performances by Hoyer like last week, but mostly it wasn't his fault because I don't know exactly how many times he was sacked, but he surely liked the grass in the stadium.
You know, Michael, you're absolutely spot on about the whole Kaepernick thing, but you know what really surprised me is nobody's going on about the Alex Smith thing. He scored. He absolutely scored Tom Brady that night. And, you know, I watched that game, the Patriots against the Chiefs, for as long as I could. And I thought, gosh, he could have been ours. He was ours.
He was for a little while.
Until he got injured.
Yeah, I think Rob said it perfectly. The people want show. And quarterbacks like Hoyer and Alex Smith ain't show. Kaepernick was show, and people like that. I'm not a fan of mobile quarterbacks because for me they are a one-shot weapon. And after they got used, and defenses figured them out, they don't work anymore.
Well, Michael, we've got one coming up next Sunday, haven't we? A very mobile quarterback with a very poor offensive line as well.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson. Sorry, he's a Seahawk, but. He made the compromise between a rusher and a passer, and his passes are
absolutely
almost as dangerous as his runs. So he is an all-around weapon, but look at quarterbacks like Kaepernick or RG3 or even Cam Newton. They are perfect runners, but they lack in the passing game. Mostly they throw secure passes about 5 to 10 yards.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
So we want to promote the patience because it is a rebuild, a complete rebuild of the team. I think the offensive line is probably still intact from last year, but it's a new scheme. So patience, people. So what positive can we take away from this game?
Definitely defense, and I think there came a break when Reuben Foster had to leave the game, but until then, the defense was really dominating.
Yeah, I agree. I think if I have to pick an offensive bright spot, I think it would be Pierre Garçon. I think he looked what you expect to get from him, really, which is obviously, and like you said before, Kat, he's somebody who knows Shanahan's system before, and that, maybe that's why he stood out as actually knowing what he was doing.
Yeah, and in addition to the defense, the field, the more tired they're going to get.
So we need that offense to pick it up.
we do. We need the offense to help out.
So the group had a lot to say and some silly things to say in the thread the following day. Jason Argo starts, how do we fix the O-line? Is it coaching or are the players simply not good enough? Rob?
I'd ask the O-lineman personally on the group. I would say it's a little bit of coaching, but I think it's the interior lineman for me. The guard positions, I think the tackle positions aren't bad with Joe Staley and Trent Brown. I think it's the guards. And, I'd be interested to see if Michael agrees with me on that one, but the guards seem to be sort of the turnstiles at the moment, letting people through.
Absolutely. When the guards crumbled, the tackles crumbled, and we have two of the best tackles in the game, I think, with Joe Staley. And yeah.
And that brings up the question: how much longer are we going to have Joe Staley? He's been with us for a long time. We can't always rely on him.
No, I think Joe Staley is similar in some ways to his situation to Joe Thomas in Cleveland. And you'd think, obviously, a very good left tackle. And some of these teams who are perhaps pushing for a Super Bowl or a playoff appearance who have had interesting sort of O-lines, like the Seahawks, for example. Steelers are long that way for a long time as well. You think one of them would have come in for one of these players to give him a shot at a championship.
So Paul McDonald asks, hi, Paul. We've seen a wholesale change in the roster. Just 16 players survived from the 2016 roster. We have a new coaching roster. The commentators for the Week 1 game described the 49ers as an expansion team. With so many changes across the board, why are our problems still the same old problems? Why is discipline still an issue? And why is the offensive line still failing? Deepak.
I think to some degree, Paul's answered his own questions there because, you know, we are, and we, this is the theme for this podcast, is we are in rebuild, okay? So playing a preseason game is not the same as playing an NFL game. There are lots of different components of our team that need to be tweaked in order for us to start winning. And it's not just one thing, it's lots of different things. The new coaches have all got their work cut out in tightening down, examining the film and trying to put right those little tweaks. How can I put it? It's a holistic solution that we look for. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution for a rebuild as complex as this one, because it is effectively an expansion team starting over again. And many people would wish that it actually was a real expansion team that can keep the stadium as well, but that's not going to happen. It's still us, and it's still Levi's.
Michael, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, almost the same that Deepak said. We had some key injuries in the training camp. Everyone expected Joshua Garnett to start and not St. Beatles, for example. And that hurts a lot, and St. Beatles is only a backup. It makes sense that we still have the same problems because almost the whole O-line stays the same like last year.
Simon Holdsworth asks, is it worrying that the entire momentum of the team seems to be based on a rookie, Foster, as awesome as he looks? The difference in the team after his exit was palpable. Rob, comments?
I can see where he's coming from. I understand. Obviously, everyone's sort of cracked on to Foster. He seems to be the rookie that's developing faster than everybody else, so I appreciate that. But I think it's more than that. I think, obviously, this is real big boy football now. It's not preseason. You are going to see proper defenses and proper defensive schemes against us, and we're going to see more expansive offenses against us as well. But I think we've got the likes of Solomon Thomas. The D-line, I thought, was looking good. Tank Carradine, as Deepak said, and DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead and alongside him as well were all looking fairly good to me. And I think it is, to repeat what we said before, it is about the offense keeping going, keeping drives alive, giving the defense a chance to sort of get some breathers back. And yes, Foster is an impetus player, and he will be to anyone, any team he was on, I think. But the offense will come together, and I think we'll see that. And I think Michael made a very good point about Josh Garnett being missing. I think if we can solidify that line, maybe Tomlinson coming in is a possibility. He was a first round pick as well, although he hasn't done much for Detroit. But if we can get those guard positions, I think it will just give the quarterback a chance to actually get those throws away rather than, mm-hmm. as Michael said, eating grass so much.
Yeah. Richard Burley asks, does Kyle need to appoint an offensive coordinator? He failed to properly call a timeout, and the ensuing delay of game penalty cost us. Should he divide up the roles and focus on being head coach? Michael.
I don't think so. I think, as Sam several times said here, we are in a rebuilding season, and let's see how it works out in the end. It was a first game. Everyone struggled. It was the first game for Shanahan as a head coach. Just wait till the end of the season, and then we can talk about that double function he has.
Deepak, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think as far as penalties are concerned, that's not anything to do with technique or skill. It's about discipline. It's about having that football IQ that we used to talk about so much when Colin Kaepernick was under center. It's about doing those little things that should be second nature at this level. You know, we shouldn't be burning timeouts or having a delay of game because we can't get the playoff on time. That's insane. Whether that's down to Coach Shanahan preferring not to use an OC or not, we don't know. But I think the players themselves need to have some level of accountability too, because timeouts, in this occasion, we didn't need them because we got blown out. But, you know, you have to save those. They're like gold dust. You've got to protect the timeouts. And the only way you're going to do that is to be sensible with how you use them. So a little bit of discipline is needed, I think. And it's always been our problem, hasn't it? Discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I think But also, I'd also say that I think in John Lynch, we've got a GM who will come down on that type of thing, yeah, and will be pushing for resolution, whereas in the past, that's kind of been tolerated to a fair degree from the Trent Baalke era. And I think John Lynch is very much sort of kind of his own man on that, and will try and stamp that out. And people who are repeat offenders, I think, will find themselves gone before too long.
Well, I think we're going to move on from our group questions, just because I'm sensing a theme, and a lot of it is patience. It's like we've been saying, it's a rebuild. We're going to need to be patient with the team. So why don't we look ahead to next week, or this week, or however you want to put it, the Seahawks. We are going to Seattle. Are we ready for this? The Seahawks lead the all-time series 22-15. Of course, in week one, the Seahawks lost 17-9 to Green Bay, leaving them 0-1, good enough for second in the NFC West. Tied with us. And the Seahawks only scored through three Blair Walsh field goals. Say that three times fast. So Seattle has got some offensive line issues as well. Is that something our defense can exploit? Michael?
I truly hope. It's hard to play in Seattle, but I truly hope that our defense can exploit this weaknesses the O-line of Seattle has. And I hope our offense line can stand the defense line, because they are one of the best defense lines in the league.
Yeah, that's my next question. We'll get to that. let's see. So, yeah, Seattle sacked Aaron Rodgers four times last week. Can our offensive line stop them from sacking Hoyer four times, or five, or six?
Well, I don't know is the answer to that. But
that's why I'm asking.
But the one thing that I do know is that, you know, historically, and when I say historically, over the last three or four seasons, we've constantly said how poor our offensive line is. Now, Seattle's has actually been just as bad as ours. Okay, so yes, they're there for the taking in terms of the battle of the trenches, but they've actually turned it to their advantage. Russell Wilson is the player that he is because he can extend plays. You know, he can make things happen after his porous O-line has given up on him. That's when his accuracy is as deadly as his legs, just as Michael said. So what they're doing is compromising on their weaknesses, you know, and trying to make adjustments to overcome them. That's something that we need to start doing. Will Hoyer be sacked four times? Who knows? You know, I don't know what we're going to get with our offensive line, but I do think, as Rob has alluded to, that they are a work in progress. They are going to get better, you know, and I think Seattle will be a great test to see how good the rebuild really is, because despite losing to Green Bay, I expect Seattle to be in postseason play this year.
And they're home, which is always an advantage, isn't it, Rob?
It certainly is for them, and up in the Pacific Northwest, with their, shall we say, interesting fans. they do like to make a bit
through
noise.
The loudspeakers.
So last week, Hoyer threw into tight coverage 48% of the time. Do you think he's going to continue to do so against Seattle and their defense?
yes, I think he will. Purely because that's the offensive shift that we're playing. That's the way we are playing. And we've got to be able to move the ball downfield. You know, we've got to get the big plays, the big chunks of plays, not only because of the field position that it gives us, but the team needs the confidence. And especially in a place like Seattle, you need every breakout. So I'm all in for Hoyer throwing into coverage if it means he can make a big play. If he gets picked off, you know what? He gets picked off. But unless we score points, we're not going to win games. So have at it, Hoyer. Go for it, you know?
Well, and with those D-backs in Seattle, you're almost guaranteed that there's going to be a pickoff here or there, right, Michael?
Surely. But I think if Aldrick Robinson doesn't drop passes like last week, we could have a chance, because I think he's faster than most players they have in the backfield.
Are there any particular matchups you guys are going to be watching for? Let's start with you, Rob.
It'll be interesting for me to see, for our defense, so let's see who's going to cover Jimmy Graham, whether that's going to fall to Mr. Bowman to cover him coming, or will that be Eric Reid coming up from safety? Because I don't think Seattle's receivers are that good. I mean, Doug Baldwin's fairly good, but they traded their second receiver in Curse to the Jets of all teams. So I bet you love that one. And I'm not sure they've really got a great deal for Russell to work with. Really, I think we got to look at that. I think going forward, I'd like to see Marquise Goodwin keep going, actually catch some of those passes. I think he could be the game changer we need for those chunk plays, as Deepak was talking about. And you've got to stretch that defense out and keep Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor back there, because if you let them sneak up, then we'll have nowhere to run at all.
What matchup are you going to be looking at mostly, Michael?
Of course, I'm looking for the trenches, as always, because I think the battle will be won there. And one thing I just mixed up. I meant Marquise Goodwin, not Aldrick Robinson.
How about you, Deepak? Do you have something you're looking for particularly?
Yeah, I do actually. I think we talked about a lack of pass rush against the Carolina Panthers, and I think that's something the team would have been working on this week, is the pass rush. When you've got a pass rush that's in it for the win, you know, i.e. they're improved and they're going after business, it's going to be fun to see how that pass rush is going to cope with Seattle's offensive line, in particular how it's going to affect Russell Wilson, because yes, he's a Seahawk, blah, 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 but he sure is fun to watch, and it's going to be great to see our guys go right after him through that O-line up there. So that's a lineup, a matchup that I'm really looking forward to seeing. It's our pass rush against Russell Wilson.
Yes, I would like to see him on his butt a couple of times. Let's make our predictions. Who do you think is going to win this week, Deepak?
Well, my heart says us always, but I think Seattle are going to be a little bit too strong, especially playing at home. I think Seattle will beat us by a couple of scores.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm seeing it the same way like Deepak. My heart goes with the Niners, but my mind says Seattle.
Rob?
At the risk of sounding like a broken record, I think it will be Seattle. I don't think it's going to be by that much. I think the Seahawks take a while to get going most seasons. It's still early for them. They weren't fantastic last week against Green Bay. But I think they will probably have a little bit too much for us. I think it'd be great to see how much our coaches and coaching staff have learned from that first week, to see what adjustments they make. And, I think it could be... I think it could be like a 8-point difference.
Well, I'm going to, even though my head says the Seahawks are going to win this game, I'm still picking the Niners.
Because
I'm the girl. I honestly have a lot of faith in Shanahan, and I, even though I wasn't on the bandwagon immediately, I think he's going to pull out some tricks that we haven't seen yet. So that's my prediction.
We'll have them at our place, though, Cap. No two ways about it. We'll win
that. Oh, yes, we will win that one for sure. Okay, we are ready for our two-minute drill, or at least I am. How about you guys?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, I've got the timer going. So, Rob, after the poor O-line play on Sunday, does Lakeland Tomlinson start in the next game? If so, for who, Beatles or Fusco?
If he starts, it'll be for Beatles, but I think that Shanahan will go with Beatles again.
Michael, which team has had the most impressive result this weekend?
Jacksonville, by far. Or the Rams, that's hard. No one expected both teams to win that good.
Deepak, unsung hero or underrated performance from Sunday's game?
Jaquisiki Tart for that pick. Fantastic.
That pick was fabulous.
Yeah, it was.
Rob, after seeing the first game, have you changed your view on what position group causes most concern?
Yes, I think I would have to go to O-line at the moment, so yes.
Michael, do you expect any trades for players before the trade deadline in October?
Yeah, I think we need a better guard on both sides, so I think we're going to trade.
Deepak, if you could take any player currently on another roster and plug him into our lineup, who would it be and why?
Aaron Rodgers. He's the best quarterback in the National Football League right now, if you ask me. I'd pick Aaron Rodgers. Why? Obvious, because this is a franchise that historically has had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You know, when you won that, why not Rodgers?
There you go. Rob, lots of talk about Father Time catching up with Brady again. Agree or just an anomaly?
An anomaly. Brady's going to be fine.
Michael, the Browns put up a decent showing against the Steelers this weekend. Who do you think will get the 2018 number one pick?
I think that honor will go to Indianapolis this year, because I don't think they won't get luck.
And we are out of time. The two-minute drill is over. Thank you so much for playing. Well, my goodness, that went quick. That's our show for this week. Can you believe it? Enjoy week two at 9:25 p.m. in the UK. Does that make it 10:25 in Germany? 1:25 Pacific. Thanks to Audionautix.com for the music. Thanks to Mark Lyon, Andrew Mitchell, Graham Ross, and Daryl Nils-Hanman for all the work they do on the group and on the show. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Niner Empire GB, and on Facebook. Search the Niner Empire GB group. It's time to say goodbye, boys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye, everybody, and thanks for having me.
On behalf of Rob Newell, Deepak Gohill, and Michael Wandry, I'm Kat Victorino, saying thank you for listening. We will catch you next time.